Welcome to Glitchcast, episode 32. This week we'll be reviewing Jurassic World. Our co-host Austin is away on business like the grown-up adult that he is, and we've got a guest host joining us today. Recently joined us on our Valentine's Day podcast, we have Sarah joining us again. Say hello.
Hello.
Sarah knows Andy and Austin very well. It's a family affair this episode. Sarah's Austin's sister, and coincidentally, she's my wife. She's an avid movie fan, obsessed with Harry Potter, and we'll see if she was the biggest fan of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. More on that later. We're going to get into the non-spoiler and spoiler review of that, but first, let's talk some movie news. So, Tom Holland, you're a fan of Tom Holland, eh?
I'm obsessed with Tom Holland.
What's your favorite Tom Holland video on the internet?
The lip sync battle where he does Rihanna's,
Umbrella.
Yeah, it's the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
If you haven't seen it, Google Tom Holland Umbrella Dance Off. It is legit, and he's like a ballet dancer or something.
Yeah, he was on Broadway and played Billy Elliot in the Broadway version, I'm pretty sure, that. And so he's an incredible dancer, and he wears a tight little number.
Easy. He was probably like 19 when that was filmed.
It's a female outfit, so I don't know why I get so hot and bothered about it. But
all right. Anyway, Tom Holland has dropped the ball and revealed the next Spider-Man movie. It is called Far From Home. What do you think about the title? Apparently, he's studying abroad. It's in London. And yeah, let's not get into too many Avengers spoilers, but let's just say I'm not sure how they're going to do this.
Well, there's one of two things that this means. It's either...
Let's stop. if you guys haven't seen Avengers, we're just going to move on. But apparently this was not Marvel sanctioned. But apparently they're okay with it. I don't think he had it like in the background in an image or anything. But it was something that Marvel was like, oops, we didn't mean for that to come out. But Far From Home, kind of like Homecoming, a little play on that. But apparently it's him studying abroad. Not much else that we know about it. And frankly, we can't really talk about it because we have no idea how they're going to do it. And we'll save anybody who hasn't seen Avengers further spoilage. AMC Theaters has announced the MoviePass Killer. So we're big MoviePass advocates. The wife, Sarah, has it as well. We've saved so much money. AMC is releasing 12 movies a month for $19.95. MoviePass is $9.99 a month. And this is going to allow you to go to RPX and IMAX as well. Not to be outdone, MoviePass has announced surge pricing next month and also bring a friend option, but most importantly, upgrade to RPX IMAX for additional fee. And with that surge pricing, you get one free peak pass a month, which overdoes the surge pricing. So what do you think about this battle of the movies as a subscription service? Big fan of MoviePass, right?
Yeah, big fan. I think that if we just keep the competition going, we will get the best possible movie-going option that we can get. So I'm a fan of this.
Yeah, either way, like the tide has turned, and no longer do we have to pay like $16 for Matinee and $28 for RPX. It seems like it's going to be just good for the consumer, just letting these two duke it out.
Yes.
Kumail Nanjiani has joined the Men in Black reboot. So the 21 Jump Street versus Men in Black crossover is dead, but they are rebooting Men in Black. Kumail Nanjiani, known from Silicon Valley, he is the hilarious Indian. You love him. Uh-huh. He'll be playing the role of Pawnee, a funny, wisecracking, sex-driven alien from a civilization that exists on a chessboard. This film is going to have Chris Hemsworth playing Agent H, a suave but slightly goofy James Bond-esque British MIB agent. It'll also co-star Tessa Thompson, who's blowing up right now, playing Molly, a young woman who knows that aliens exist, but is determined to become a Men in Black agent. Did you know about all this casting and these people in this reboot?
I think you mentioned it in a podcast before, but I forgot about it.
Hemsworth is on your top five people that you'd hope Andy would allow to cheat on you with star list, isn't it?
Top three,
okay. Do you want to go over your top five right now?
Do you want me to?
Not really. I think this duo will play well. Actually, Tessa Thompson was pretty funny in Thor, and Obviously, Chris Hemsworth was hilarious in Thor, so should be a good combo. And Kumail Nanjiani blowing up right now, huge in The Big Sick and Silicon Valley, so should be a good combo of people. And I think it has the people who are attached to 21 Jump Street involved, so it should be hilarious movie. And do you want to see any of the old people come back, or do you want this to be completely fresh?
So it's a reboot?
Yeah. Do you want to see any like cameos or anything?
Yeah, Will Smith is awesome.
What about Tommy Lee Jones?
I mean, he's fine. He's kind of boring.
Apparently he's a dick in real life, too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I'm excited for this. Would you have wanted to see 21 Jump Street mixed with this? Or do you think that would be stupid?
No, I would want to see it because I think it'd be so stupid and hilarious. And I love all of that entire cast, so
that'd be amazing.
Why not? I don't, whatever.
Maybe once this gets off the ground, we'll get that film back. But either way, it's shaping up to be a hilarious cast. Netflix series Dark, who we watched and we liked a lot, the creators of that show have inked an overall deal with Netflix to create more content. The German duo behind Dark, Jante Frisse and Baran Boadar, will create new projects for the streaming giant. Dark is a time-traveling mindfuck of a show.
That's in German.
It's in German. You don't, by default, Netflix is going to play you the subtitled version. It's going to play the dubbed version. You don't want to watch that garbage. Watch the subtitled version. You got to read a little bit. But what do you think about this? You enjoyed Dark a lot, didn't you? It was really creepy.
Yeah, it was really creepy. I was a little bit put off at first because I tend to not like to read when I am watching my TV shows, which...
You like to turn the brain off.
Yeah, whatever. To each their own. But as we got into it, it was really interesting and travels through three different time periods that are 33 years apart each. I won't dig into it deeper than that, but it's really interesting. And it does a good job with time travel, which not all shows or movies do.
Really hard to do a good job with time travel because it's so many things can break so quickly and it just gets so convoluted. Heroes season 2 and onward is a good example of that. But yeah, Dark, highly recommended. Good to see this duo doing more for Netflix. Wondering if it's going to be all German, if they'll create something like English spoken. We'll see. All right, that's it for movie news. A couple pieces of TV news. AMC has renewed The Terror for season 2. The Terror was about the failed Franklin expedition set in the 30s, 40s, and it was about a shipwrecked crew trying to travel the Pacific.
It was set in the 1870s.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so I was close. I was really close. And shipwrecked crew, failed expedition, they get stuck on ice, and a lot of weird shit goes down. Really, really liked The Terror season 1. This one's going to be set in a World War II Japanese intermittent camp, and I think there is going to be, like, a terror, like something haunting these people. I don't think it's just going to be about like the horrors of being in like a camp. What do you think about this? Because I don't think it's going to have the same cast, but it is keeping the same name. The Terror was a name of the boat in one of the boats in season 1. Couldn't this live up to the season 1?
So are they going to do it similar to American Horror Story?
I think so, but not bringing back the cast every season. So it will be anthology, but not just Ryan Murphy rehashing the same 10 people.
Well, we don't need any more of that anyways. No. But, yeah, I think, why not? Give it a shot.
Yeah.
The first season was really good and creepy and terrifying.
Oh, good pun. Thank you. She's getting punny. She's listened to this podcast before.
Well, I live with you.
Yes.
So.
Next up, Ozark season 2 has a date and a mini trailer. This will lead right into trailers. So why not talk about August 31st, Ozark season 2 will be back. What do you think about Ozark season 1? Kind of like a dark comedy Breaking Bad-esque type show with Jason Bateman?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was super dark and terrifying at times, but really interesting, really good cast. I think that everybody on the show is really great. Really great actors, really good young actors too.
Yeah.
Usually we hate children on TV.
No, that's it. We just hate children. Yeah, Ozark season 1 was basically like Breaking Bad, but skipping season 1 and 2, where they just immediately go into Jason Bateman being a badass drug dealer and like doing really dark things. So It kicked off full speed ahead, and season two, I imagine, will be quite awesome as well. So highly recommended. Uh-huh. And we don't have to wait long for season two. Good thing we waited like a year to watch Ozark season one.
Yeah, we're a bit behind everybody else.
Yeah. Next up, trailers. So Creed 2 dropped, and this is Michael B. Jordan, Tessa Thompson, directed by Sylvester Stallone. This is Creed versus Drago, who is played by Dolph Lundgren in, I think, Rocky 2? 1? I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen all of the Rockies in a long time. I saw the first one when I was a kid, don't remember him. But anyway, this is getting a lot of hype because Drago's son is back, and they did a good job like not revealing him till the very end and not really showing too much about him. What do you think about Creed 1?
It was really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mr. Jordan, good up-and-coming actor.
Oh, he's not up-and-coming anymore. I think
that's
he's
true.
I think he's like A-list now, yeah. Especially after Black Panther and everything that he's done recently. No, he's great. I just can't believe that he's the little Kid Wallace from The Wire from 10, 15 years ago now.
He was a little kid in The Wire, and we were like, oh, that's him!
He's so cute.
The story looks to be he's kind of, I don't know if he's like on top and like he doesn't, I don't know if he's like on top and isn't sure if he can continue fighting because he's like done enough or if he's down in the dump. I can't really tell from the trailer, but it looks like this is going to be a dangerous fight and his girlfriend Tessa Thompson probably doesn't want him to do it. And he has to choose probably his pride or his girlfriend or wife or whoever she is. But either way, it looks like a darker Creed. Obviously, Sylvester Stallone knows Rocky, so who better to direct than him?
Right. I just was really kind of hoping for a crossover of Game of Thrones and that being Drogo.
Oh, yes. Creed versus Drogo.
Creed versus Khal Drogo.
Yes. Actually, that'd be one hell of a fight.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get poisoned or something.
He'd probably lose.
Yeah.
To the call, but...
All right, so that was a good trailer. Now let's talk about one that I still am not sure what I feel about it. So Welcome to Marwen dropped. This is director Robert Zemeckis from Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, a ton of good movies, a couple of duds, starring Steve Carell, Leslie Mann, God, who else was in that?
Janae
Monáe. A couple other people. And this seems to be about a toy creator that got his shit kicked in based on a true story. And he has to find himself again facing his attackers down in court and learning to make toys again and confront his fears or something. And at one point, he has to learn to walk again, and the lyrics from the Foo Fighters kick in, and it says, "Learning to walk again." A little bit on the nose, and the animation and like the little toys in it look kind of off-putting, and I can't tell if this is going to be amazing and is going to make you cry, or if it's just going to be awful and weird. What was your first impression on this?
At first, I thought I was going to cry during the trailer.
Right? Was it when Foo Fighters came on?
No, that's what took me out of it. Oh, I was like, okay. What is this shit? Like, you can't do the literal song when he's learning to walk again, literally.
That's really bad.
But then, like, when they're in the courtroom and he's facing the Nazis who beat the shit out of him and he's got his little toy next to him, that made me tear up and I have no idea
why.
The
toy? Really?
And I was like, you've got a toy with you. This shouldn't be sad.
Yeah.
Or, like, heartwarming or whatever it's supposed to make you feel. But, yeah, I don't know. This movie will go one of two ways.
There's no middle ground.
There's no middle ground. And I don't know if we should see it in the theater or if we should leave it.
MoviePass, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, the toys just look off-putting and weird. And apparently the real-life story, he's kind of a much weirder guy. He, like, made a lot of them, like, transvestites, I think, and was into that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think they're downplaying quite a bit of it. There's another documentary out that I've read is a lot better than this looks on the life of Marwen. But anyway, this Zemeckis, obviously established director, but it just looks weird. And I am going to imagine it bombs.
Oh, this is a true story?
This is a true story. All of the action, the toys coming to life, that all happened. Yes.
So it's Toy Story?
Yes, correct. For adults. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to guess flop, but we'll see. So that's it for movie, TV news, and trailers. We're going to keep it short this week because I have a lot to talk about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Sarah joined me kind of last minute, so she doesn't have any notes. I'm going to lead the discussion here. We're going to talk about the plot. what we didn't like, give our grades, and then we'll go into spoilers. We'll timestamp it below, so if you haven't seen it, you can stop listening, or if you have seen it and don't care about non-spoilers, you can skip ahead. But Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is the fifth movie in the Jurassic Park cinematic universe. It has a 50% critics rating, a 61% from fans on Rotten Tomatoes, and it had a $170 million budget before marketing. Marketing usually adds, I think, 30 to 50% more. And it premiered with a really good $150 million and has already surpassed $700 million worldwide because this came out a couple weekends ago overseas. So Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom takes place immediately after Jurassic World? That was it, right? There was no subtitle? And I guess not immediately after, but what's going on is the park obviously closed after the events. The world's still reeling from those events, but there's an active volcano on the island, and all the dinosaurs are going to die. So they have to decide, the world has to decide, whether dinosaurs that were brought to life via genetic manipulation should be saved. Do they have the same rights as animals? And once that's decided, this movie kind of splits into two different set pieces. If you have seen trailer 2, you'll know what I'm talking about. But yeah, stars Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard. You get Jeff Goldblum sneaking in there as well. Directed by J.A. Bayona, who directed The Orphanage, The Impossible, and A Monster Calls. So, established director, good visual style, written by Colin Trevorrow, who wrote Jurassic World 1. What did you think, high-level thoughts, about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom? Were you excited before you went in, and how'd you feel when you left?
I was not excited before I went in.
Why?
Just mixture of things.
Did the trailers look bad? Is that what you...
The first trailer I thought looked bad. The second one I thought it made it look better.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had seen some reviews that it was poor, and I probably let that get to me a little bit too much, so I wasn't excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I left... I don't want to say too much now.
You left okay? Disappointed?
I left okay.
Okay. So I went in as well, and I think I let the reviews spin this in my head, but I think it had the opposite effect. I went in with very low impressions, and I walked out like, that wasn't bad. As long as I consider this movie as basically jumping the shark or jumping the Mosasaurus and becoming the Fast and the Furious series levels of ridiculousness. I thought the direction was really good. It was really creepy and atmospheric in certain parts of the movie. There were some really innovative shots. J.A. Bayona has a good eye for the visual flair, and it almost turned into a horror movie at some point, but it just felt like two different movies. The story is completely idiotic. There are a lot of massive plot holes and character decisions that I'm just like, are you kidding me? You're just going to do that? There are some characters that are included in the movie that are forehead-slappingly annoying. There's a guy that they bring that's just he's scared of everything.
Yeah.
And he just goes to an island that has a volcano that's about to explode with dinosaurs, and he's scared of everything.
Yeah, and he's a systems analyst, systems admin.
Chris Pratt. You love Chris Pratt. I thought he was fine in this movie.
Yeah, I thought he was fine, and I thought Bryce Dallas Howard was fine. They're both really good actors, so they delivered just fine. I thought that the entire supporting cast was absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Throughout this entire movie.
Yeah. Chris Pratt, he was fine. They didn't write him really any differently. Bryce Dallas Howard, they improved on her character. She wasn't just some chick in heels just constantly messing up and being horrible at her job. I don't know why she's not in prison after what happened to the last park, but yeah, she's back. The two new sidekicks, a paleo veterinarian lesbian, which the lesbian line was cut, and a geeky, screaming analyst kid who's afraid of everything joined the crew. The paleo lady was fine, I guess, but the geeky kid I thought was obnoxious, and his shtick was overdone 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
How could you be a paleo veterinarian if you've never seen a dinosaur?
I don't know. I thought that she was... I didn't really like her, actually.
Okay.
That she was just... she was way too headstrong, and, like, the second... is in the first, like... time we're introduced to her, and she's just fighting back with someone in her office over nothing.
Yeah.
And just having an attitude and acting like she's the best.
Tough chick.
Yeah, they had to over-explain what her job was, about four different times throughout this movie, and it was like, we got it the first time, and I think they could have explained it in a different way than her yelling at someone who clearly already knew what her job was.
She's just kind of beating her chest about her role. Yeah.
Yeah.
The animatronics and CG, like, this was a really pretty movie, I think. There was never a time where I was like, oh, that looks like shit, or that's CG. And
yeah.
From what I read, there was, like, some ridiculous number, like 3 to 5 times as much animatronics and budget on the animatronics versus the first one. And I think it really showed. Visually, it was a pretty movie.
Yeah, I thought all the dinosaurs that they had looked really good, too. Even the ones that were CG.
Yeah, and the new one, I thought, was... the way they shot it in some of the scenes with, like, black and white, like, strobe and stuff, like, it was really creepy.
Yeah.
It ended up being kind of an underwhelming dinosaur in the end, but it was a really creepy new dinosaur. I can't imagine where they're going to go from here as far as, like, mutating and stuff, but visually a good movie. Can't knock the director. The script gets a little silly, which we'll talk about soon. It ends up being basically two different movies halfway through, but we'll talk about that very soon here. I didn't write a grade down, so I'm going to have to think about one on the spot. Let me put you on the spot. What was your grade for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom? Or do you have anything else that you want to discuss before we get into spoilers?
This isn't really a spoiler, but since you were talking about the villain dinosaur of the movie...
Yeah, what about the human villain?
No, just going back to that, it's kind of the same plot as the last movie.
Yeah.
That they created
mutated dinosaur.
Yeah, they created a new
killer
bad dinosaur that causes havoc, and that's the exact same thing that ended up happening here, but a different setting. So it just, I know we talked about this, but overall the script was just not that good.
Yeah.
But I give it a B minus.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty good.
Oh, you thought it'd be worse?
Yeah, I really did. I'm leaning towards C minus, but I'll give it a C. It was average. I mean, I had fun with it, but it was pretty. If you turn your brain off, just like you would the Fast and Furious movies, it's fine. But it's a hard pill to swallow, that, like, the wonder and realism of Jurassic Park 1. It's like we'll never see that again. The movie takes some plot choices later in the movie that just take it in a direction that there's no turning back from. It is never going to be grounded in any sort of reality. People make some idiotic decisions, and it's just so tough to just make excuses for it. So Fast and the Furious, dinosaurs, just consider it part of that universe, and you'll have a good time with it. But let's go to spoilers. We'll time stamp this in the description. Stop listening now if you haven't seen it. So set piece number one is an island, the volcanic eruption about to happen, the dinosaurs. Everything starts to go crazy when they get there. Actually, before we get there, I really like the opening scene in the dark to go get the Indominus Rex's tooth from the park. All hell breaks loose when they're trying to extract this. The T-Rex kind of being lit up by the lightning and stuff before it attacks the first guy. I thought that was one of the coolest scenes in the movie and reminiscent of early, like, the beginning of Jurassic Park 1 when you're barely first seeing the raptor and the guy gets pulled into the cage.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool intro to the movie, but from there it kind of goes downhill.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too. And, I mean, this is how much that Jurassic World didn't have an impact on me. I didn't remember that the Indominus Rex or whatever died.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really remember.
Remember he was dragged in by the Mosasaurus? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well.
There you go.
That's how memorable that was for me.
Jurassic World has fallen. Volcano's about to erupt. People are fighting over dino rights. The government then rules against saving the dinosaurs. Claire is then recruited by John Hammond's old partner to go rescue the dinosaurs and take them to a new island for them to flourish without human interaction. We've never heard of Farmer from Babe as being a friend of John Hammond's in 5 movies. So it's kind of weird to just see some new guy who apparently helped John Hammond build this park.
Right. I think that is... is he dead now?
In real life?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm guessing that he is.
Oh, the guy who plays John Hammond? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to say otherwise. I think that was just their out.
Yeah.
For
to have, like, that sort of figure in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that actor.
James Cromwell, I think is his name.
Yeah. He's so creepy in season 2 of American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Didn't
have much to do here. Just kind of be that figure in the movie that John Hammond was in the previous movies, but It's just weird to have him come out of nowhere and be like, yeah, I helped create everything. Five movies in and we haven't heard of you, bud.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else on the intro and Farmer John Hammond?
Well, they weren't, he wasn't introduced first. They had his little butt boy.
Yeah, they introduce his financial planner slash owner of the estate slash manager who, right off the bat, like, he's super nice and, like, almost too nice. You can kind of tell, like, oh, this is a villain. But when he turns into a villain, he turns into, like, a mustache-twirling comic book character.
Yeah. I think he's a British actor.
Yeah, he was in The Ritual and The Canal, I believe. Good British actor from what I've seen him in, but
apparently he lost his acting skills, but he was just awful. Like, nothing landed right. It just sounded silly whenever he would try to be evil, and I don't know. It just...
I could think of... He's like a little twerp.
Yeah, he took me out of it, honestly.
Yeah. Anyway, he is recruiting Claire to go to the volcano island to rescue the dinosaurs, but in reality, he just needs her handprint. This is a side mission to capture certain species of dinosaurs and raffle them... I'm sorry, not raffle, auction them off to the highest bidder, to dark, bad people all around the United States...
And
the world, and for what they need them for, who the hell knows? War? Are they going to strap some guns to these dinosaurs? Send some compies into a cave?
And they can't, it's important to note that they can't track any of the dinosaurs in the park unless their system is up and running.
Yes.
So that is why Claire has to go, because her handprint sets the system, or turns the system on, and that's why they need this little systems admin to go with them, because he... is the tech guy who gets everything up and running so her handprint can even work.
And they're also creating the Indominus Rex, which is a mix of a raptor and the... No, I'm sorry. They're creating the Indoraptor, I think it's called, right?
Yeah.
It's a mix of the raptor and the Indominus Rex. They need Blue, because Blue is submissive and listens to orders, so they need Chris Pratt's character, Owen something, to go to the island to get Blue. Blue's the biggest piece of the puzzle to make dinosaurs listen to orders, basically. So Pratt ends up going as well, and all hell breaks loose. The volcano starts erupting. The mercenaries start taking control of the mission. And then we have explosions and dinosaurs. And what do you think about that? I mean, it was just like, throw as many dinosaurs and explosions at the screen as you can, right?
Yeah, and it was just a little bit ridiculous that all of these just... I don't know, military men decided that they were just going to let these innocent people die.
Yeah, like who?
That they just
do,
like,
all of them not have consciences and they're all okay with murder?
Yeah.
They leave Chris Pratt for dead, which they leave him for dead, and there's probably the best scene in the movie, him being drugged and running away from lava.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
He's doing like his best, like Jim Carrey, like,
yeah.
That was really funny. Chris Pratt running from lava, best scene in the movie, calling it now. So. The dorky kid screaming, the lesbian veto paleo person gets captured by gunpoint. All hell breaks loose. They fall off a cliff, and dinosaurs are everywhere. Chris Pratt takes a knife and pries him out, takes the time to put his knife back in his pocket, you know, with no air and with impending death. And they hijack a car and ramp back onto the boat at the last second. And you see a callback to the original, a brontosaurus on his hind legs, screaming, being burned alive by the volcano. Did that scene get to you at all? I felt kind of sad.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like shitting all over my childhood and just burning my childhood to the ground. It's like, no more realism in Jurassic Park, fireworks, explosions, beams from the sky, Fast and the Furious. This is what we live in now. But it did get to me. I was like, that's a cool shot, and I'm sad. Good job.
Yeah, it was. It was sad.
It's like one of the only impactful scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
So they ramp up and barely get on the boat, and then they go into incognito mode. And apparently, Bryce Dallas Howard, she's like a ginger, hot chick, and she can just fit in with all these mercs by just putting a hat on. No one thinks the wiser. The dorky kid.
That's what I do.
Yes.
When I walk down the street, I don't want anybody to know who I am.
You just put a John Deere hat on.
I just put a hat on.
Mm-hmm. Chris Pratt tries to blend in. They need to repair Blue because Blue got shot in the chest. They need to go get blood from a T-Rex for some reason. I can't even remember why.
For a blood transfusion, because otherwise she'll die if she doesn't get more
blood.
Because
she lost
too much blood.
Okay. So that leads into one of the, I thought, the second, probably the second coolest scene in the movie, them kind of bouncing around a sleeping T-Rex, because you could tell it was animatronic and it looked really real.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun. That I did like cool. that scene. They deal with that Trank T-Rex. They don't get caught yet, but eventually they find out that they're taking the dinosaurs to James Cromwell's estate to be raffled off. And the winner is G42 auctioned off. And they get caught as soon as they get to the estate. And then we basically get movie number two inside the movie. Anything that you want to go over with movie number one, dinosaurs, explosions, and volcanoes that I forgot about before we get into movie number two, which turns into basically Jason Voorhees hunting people around a mansion and turns into like a mini horror movie.
No. I think I probably enjoyed the first half.
Really? I think I might have liked the second half more just because it was like more grounded, not grounded, but like small and intimate. We've never had anything like
yeah,
that
before. Yeah, this is a very grounded movie.
Yes. Especially this movie just takes it to a very grounded level. Anyway, set piece number two. They get to this mansion and everything starts to get auctioned off. Toby Jones shows up. He's like the little creepy villain guy that's in a lot of things. He's in Sherlock. He's in a couple. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Is he in the Avengers in one of the...
I don't think so.
Maybe a Marvel...
Yes, he's in Captain America, the first one. He's like... Red Skull's scientist. Yeah. He's a great actor, but he was just another mustache-twirling idiot villain in this. So he's like, I want to auction off these dinosaurs. Where are they? And he's like, I'll have the dinosaurs soon. He's like, well, if you won't have them tonight, I'll tell my buyers to go elsewhere. And the guy's like, dude, where else are you going to get dinosaurs? Like, what was he doing?
Yeah, no, he was saying that, $4 million was just another Tuesday that it wouldn't let him get out of bed or something.
And also, that brings me to my next point. They start auctioning these dinosaurs off, and they're going for $20 million. I was doing some research, and it costs like millions of dollars to keep a panda alive every year. These are one of like 10 remaining dinosaurs, and they're only going for $20 million. Wouldn't you think they'd go for like $300 million?
I've never been to a dinosaur auction before, so...
Okay. I have. But it was completely undervalued. Really stupid.
Yeah, I don't...
So we're introduced into James Cromwell's granddaughter, who we find out later is a genetically created human. I thought there were additional plot twists that we were going to have from there, but what did you think about the little kid in this movie? I thought she was fine.
Yeah, she was fine. She was cute. She looks like she should be Hailee Steinfeld's either little sister and or child.
Yep.
She looks just like her, as a little kid form.
In the whole movie, I was trying to figure out, like, whose daughter is she? Is she Ellie Sattler's daughter? Is she, who is the kid from the first one? The girl from the first one? I can't remember her name. But it's revealed later, it's James Cromwell's daughter's DNA built into a new human.
It's a Linux system. I know this.
I know this. Unless they figure out how to open doors. Run!
I don't think they made that clear. I think she ended up being someone that we didn't know, similar to James Cromwell.
Well, they didn't make it clear because you're unclear on it. It was James Cromwell's daughter who died in the car accident.
Yeah, I know, but that it wasn't a character we ever met in previous Jurassic Park worlds.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
So the dinos, of course, escape at some point. These supervillains aren't smart enough to build more than mason and brick and mortar walls in between dinosaurs. And Chris Pratt lures one of the head basher dinosaurs to bash right through the wall. Paper thin walls. I just want to see a movie where the dinosaurs get out. Like, it's really hard for them to get out instead of like, well, they're immediately out. You know, I know they don't have time for it, but it just seemed to happen so quickly. Like, one dinosaur bashed through a wall. That's how it happened, really.
Hey, he whistled at that dinosaur at least 50 times.
That's true.
Until he got through that wall. So.
That's true. That brings us to the Indoraptor. The Indoraptor is the Dominus Rex mixed with raptor DNA. They need Blue to put him in there to follow orders. And the reveal of this thing I really liked. It was really creepy. Like strobe lights and shadows and the audience being like, holy shit. He was a pretty creepy looking dinosaur.
Yeah, he was really creepy. He kind of reminded me of the villain in Monsters, Inc.
Mm.
It reminded me of him a lot. I forget what his name is in that movie, but that's what it reminded me of. And I think it's important to note that the Indoraptor was not supposed to go on sale.
Right, yeah.
Because
he was a prototype. He didn't follow orders really yet.
Yeah, that didn't have blue in him yet, which would show compassion and empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And B.D. Wong had an argument with the evil twirling mustache man and said that he didn't, that they couldn't sell him and that he wasn't ready for those reasons.
Like, yeah, but money.
And he just didn't listen to him. And all I can think of when I see B.D. Wong is him dressed as a woman from iRobot.
Yeah, same. And not iRobot.
Oh, not iRobot. Sorry, Mr. Robot.
From our Roomba. I just like this. See, this is like some of the dumb things of this movie where they're selling the dinosaurs and one of the villains is the one that like twisted into the villain is just watching this bar and money increments just being like... He's like, just watching this bar of money go and raise. And he's like, we could sell anything. It was just so bad. There are so many things where I'm just like, oh, that happened. And okay, we're just going to allow that.
Yeah. But basically the Indoraptor will kill literally anything.
That you point a gun at and put a like beam of audio on or something.
Yeah, a laser and then... some sort of noise.
If you've
but
got
he
a,
goes after anything anyways.
Pretty much, yeah, because he's just a trained killer with no empathy. If you got a laser on somebody, why don't you just shoot him? You know? That's what I would do. You don't need to, like, laser it for 5 seconds, then slowly press the button that sicks the Indoraptor on you. I don't know. Anyway, the dinos escape, all hell breaks loose, and then we get the Indoraptor basically hunting these three stars of the movie. And I really like this part. I thought it was, like, it was like Freddy Krueger hunting down a teenager in a house. I don't know. It felt like something we'd never seen before. It just felt out of place. And it should have... I don't know how they could have done it, but they went from really big scale to really small scale for the finale, so it didn't really feel like it was building to anything big.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie where the big scale thing is in the beginning and then it just slows down. So it was really off-putting to me.
Yeah. I really liked when... So the Indoraptor ends up chasing the little girl through the house and she ends up being in her bed and hiding in her bedroom, which is basically at the top of the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's separate. It's kind of like a, what's that movie? Like Tangled.
Yeah.
Basically mm-hmm. where she's trapped in the tower essentially, but she goes there to hide and this thing can smell really, really well. And so it comes into her room, like over the roof and through like her doors.
That was a crazy and shot.
There were a couple of things they did with this little girl that were just callbacks to the original, where it opened her door the same way that the raptors opened the door into the kitchen.
And the toe taps.
And then she runs away from it and goes into like the laundry chute where she pulls the thing down like just how the girl did.
I think they're called dumb waiters because they're not like human waiters. It's like that's what you'd bring food up on to bedrooms in the house.
Yeah.
So yeah, continue.
But anyway, so those were I thought they were neat callbacks, but then I was like, why don't you do something original movie?
Yeah.
But anyways, it was really creepy when it was coming up on her in the bed and reaching its little claws or big claws trying to pull the sheets down. And
that was one of the coolest shots. They start with him on the top, like with the moonlight behind him and lightning, and he's like, wah! I don't know how the hell he got all the way up there or how he wasn't like falling immediately since it was raining, but
it
pans down and does this like inverted swing into the room, and meanwhile you see his hand creeping in, and then his like Freddy Krueger like fingers reach all the way into this girl, and I want to see, like, someone draw a diagram because it just looked really funny with the dinosaur, like, but, yeah, I don't know how the dinosaur actually would have pulled it off, but it made for a cool shot. So they eventually draw him out onto, like, a garden.
Because of Blue. Blue comes to
help. Yeah, of
help
course
them.
Blue comes to the rescue. Fights him a little bit.
Yeah.
After they play hide and seek, in this museum part. Apparently, you turn the lights off, the dinosaur can't find you for the life of him, even though he's a trained, like, the best killer in the world.
And then he can see you the second the lights come back on.
Or he can't smell you, even though he can smell anything a mile away, I think he said. They eventually get him out on a glass roof, and Blue tackles him through the roof, and he dies on a statue, which I thought was really underwhelming. He just falls through glass and dies on a Triceratops bone.
Yeah.
I thought Blue was going to die there, too, but he didn't. Anyway, the villain of the movie...
Blue's a girl.
Oh, yeah, Blue is a girl. So we're reaching the end here. The dinosaurs... Somehow there's a gas leak in the house, and all the dinosaurs are trapped in these cages, and the gas is killing them. There's no way to save them. There's one part that I literally turned to you and started cackling. It's where there was a gas leak, and a fire got lit, and Blue, like, looks over at the gas and is like, "Boo! Roro Raggy!" and sprints out, like, "Burr!" Like, he read the label, saw a light and a candle, was like, "I understand the chemical reaction that is about to happen," and he just bailed out. I was like, how did he know this was going to happen?
Yeah, it was like cool dudes turning away and walking away from explosions type of thing. Yeah, it was really dumb.
Anyway, all the dinosaurs are going to die, and the characters have to make a choice. They finally, the choice of where the dinosaurs die or not, the final dinosaurs is in their hands or not, most of the final dinosaurs, and Chris Pratt says, "You do this, you're going to have big time repercussions." And Bryce Dallas Howard says, "I can't let them die." She's basically has a big sequel button in front of her that lets the dinosaurs live. She doesn't press it. And then they leave the decision in the hands of a child who can't possibly comprehend and make an educated decision about this. And she ends up letting the dinosaurs live, effectively letting, like, what, 15 or so dinosaurs into the wild?
Yeah, and says that they're just like her, so she can't they're let alive, them die.
Like me.
Yeah, because they're all clones.
But she signed people's... Like, she murdered people by pressing that button. Some henchmen immediately die.
Yeah, well, they're bad guys, though.
But you know innocent people are going to die in the next one. It's like, that was a big decision, and that a kid just emotionally was like, "Red button, press." It was, like, so eye-rollingly bad. The adults made a good decision, I think. The dinosaurs, like, they're...
Yeah, well, they could have pressed the button again, couldn't they?
What do you mean?
And, like, reshut the door or something? Is that
those
buttons work?
No, pressing that door was letting them out. They were stuck in a room where gas was going to kill them.
If you pressed it again, could it shut?
I don't know. I don't think
that was part of it.
Yeah.
They didn't try.
Anyway, they let the kid make the decision, and I don't know why Chris Pratt was like, "You idiot, you're a child, you can't make this world-altering decision," but they let her get away with it. And then now it's dinosaurs versus humans, Jurassic World extinction for Jurassic World 3, I'm guessing. And we've got kind of a War of the Planet of the Apes situation where dinosaurs and humans must learn to live together. Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard apparently just adopt the kid immediately. And they're driving and see pterodactyls. Pterodactyls land in Vegas. A T-Rex roars at a lion in a zoo. And we have the setup for Jurassic World 3. What did you think about the ending? And what's in store for the next entry in this series?
Well, first off, I don't want him to kill that lion. That's what I thought of right away.
You know he's gonna. He's like, "Ooh, it's a big goat."
I was concerned for the lion. And I know he's gonna die. And I wasn't happy about that. I don't, it's just so stupid.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid. Why?
It is so stupid. All reality is gone. And I know, it's dinosaurs being cloned from a gene in an amber mosquito. It's not realistic. But Jurassic Park 1 had such a sense of wonder and amazement and somewhat grounded reality. 2 is fine compared to this as far as reality.
Yeah.
3 was contained on an island pretty much and I thought was... Also, like, it was forgettable, but didn't do anything too offensive. But this is just, they have done something that they cannot go back from. And why they keep pushing this, like, marine dinosaurs agenda. At one point, they're like, "This ankylosaur is just like a tank. You could throw this thing into battle." Like,
yeah.
You know what's just like a tank? A tank.
Right. And, I mean, there's only, what, 10, 15
I guess the idea dinos is they've cloned that they more saved. Of them?
They could just kill them, like military, get some military dudes, and you could just kill them all. Like,
yeah, well, one Apache helicopter with missiles could just destroy a T-Rex.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to put armor and, like, guns and mech outfits on these things?
I don't know. But if they really would merge Fast and the Furious with this,
yeah,
I would be a fan of that.
Yeah. So we got 21 Jump Street and Men in Black that didn't happen, but maybe Fast and the Furious and Jurassic Cinematic Universe could happen.
Yeah.
See, they might as well, because it's ridiculous now.
Then I'd be excited. I'd probably give that movie an A.
Anything else about the story? I've got about 8 random bullets that I want to go over of just things that I remembered and noticed.
No.
The ticker on the bottom of a news segment in the beginning said, U.S. president doubts the existence of dinosaurs in the first place. I didn't catch that, but I read that. I did catch one of the henchmen using, "What a nasty woman," on Bryce Dallas Howard when she was screaming. I thought that was funny. It just apparently digs at Trump. Chris Pratt, lava scene, best scene in the movie. There was a scene where Blue was getting a shot and he cried.
Yeah.
I turned to you and was cackling and I said, did Blue just shed a tear?
Yeah, they showed one single tear that Blue shed, which I don't think that's realistic at all.
I guess we don't know. Maybe dinosaurs cried. Do chickens cry? That's like the closest thing we have to dinosaurs.
I don't know, but do they like literally shed water from their eyes?
Tears aren't water. There's something else.
Saline?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I almost expected when they, because at one point they zoom into the genetically created child's eye, and I thought at one point it was going to go like, and like be reptile-like, and I was going to walk out of the theater if they made like dinosaur-human hybrids a part of like the direction the series is going. Did you expect anything like that when she said she was like genetically created? Did you expect like, we use dinosaur DNA? Anything like that?
No.
No?
I just don't even understand what the point was.
There was no point of her being genetically created.
She didn't need to be in the movie.
But
I don't.
It was fine if she was in the movie, but what was the point of her being genetically created? It had no bearing on the rest of the movie, except for her to say, they're alive like me, but like everyone's alive.
I think it had something to do with maybe saying like that's why he kept cloning the dinosaurs or something, or why he agreed to let John Hamm do it, because
yeah,
John
Hamm from Mad Men.
Don Draper really wanted to clone dinosaurs. No, I think it was because they said they had fought about him wanting to recreate dinosaurs, and then that wasn't as important to him.
Yeah.
But his daughter was, and I don't know. Clearly, they did a terrible job on this movie because we missed so many.
Just don't get it. I just don't. It's just not. Movie. There's no point. Do you know what B.D. Wong's motivation is? I think his name's John Woo in the movie. No, not John Woo. Something Woo. Maybe it's John Woo. Dr. Woo. Is he a good guy or a bad guy? Because I can't freaking tell. I think he just wants to create, but when he creates, people use his creations for bad purposes. Is he a good guy? Bad guy?
I think he means well.
Yeah.
But then he creates bad things.
Yeah, that people pay him a lot of money for. I can never tell with him. I can't tell if I'm supposed to root for him or think he's a villain. I'm really tired of the T-Rex coming in at random moments and like saving the day, where in the first movie, you heard him a mile away. The water's but in this movie he's just like out of nowhere, Michael Myers style.
He's gotten the silent killer in his old age.
Yeah. He's probably 20 years old, maybe 30 years old at this point. But yeah, has learned stealth skills. His XP is very high in stealth.
Yeah, he's the oldest.
There were a lot of deaths. I think the death count was pretty high, but literally no meaningful deaths that I cared about.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think that it would be really cool if they killed the paleo vet or the screaming guy like really early so that you felt there was like stakes in the movie? But there was no impactful deaths in this whole movie except the Brontosaurus. Well,
I wouldn't have cared if either of them died.
Yeah, but at least it would have shown like if a teenager that we thought was going to be a central character died, like, I don't know.
If Blue would have died, that would have been impactful.
Yeah. Or if they killed Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
But they're not.
But he's their moneymaker, so.
Yeah. Third movie is going to be humans versus dinos, obviously. They're not that many of them, so I don't know. They're not going to mate. So unless they create more, I don't know really where they're going to go with the story with this, just hunting down like the last 10 dinosaurs. It's not that exciting. I tell you one thing, this is definitely in my top 5 Jurassic Park movies. it's in there. There are only five of them. Five. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It probably... It's probably JP1, JP2, Jurassic World, JP3, and this. Maybe this is above JP3. Just because it's fun and stupid.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's bottom tier, but like still just schlocky fun, I think.
Yeah.
For me, all realism out the door. It's just a mess now, but I kind of laughed and had fun with it. For me, this movie, I think, deserved a better script. Bayona had a great horror movie trapped inside a really stupidly written movie. It was beautiful to watch, but it hurt my head to watch and process this story. Kind of a waste of talent and a waste of the franchise. So I give it a C-. You gave it a B-?
I don't know why. Clearly, I didn't like this movie very much.
Are you rethinking your score after we vented?
I'll go C.
Okay, so C and C-. A whole two mini letter grades from Sarah after talking about it a little longer. Thank you for joining, Sarah. Pinch hitter, crunch time here, stepping in for the busy, busy Austin and providing your thoughts on Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Anything you want to outro with? Putting you on the spot.
I'm not cool enough for that.
Do you want to join? It's funny, we asked you to join on Ocean's 11 and you didn't really like it. So you're like, no. I think we asked you to join on another shitty movie like Life of the Party and you're like, I don't want to join. You want to join with a movie that you actually like and want to talk about it at some point, right? But we appreciate you hopping on board.
Yes.
Next week, I think we have Sicario, Day of the Soldado, if I'm not mistaken. Looking forward to that. Denis Villeneuve is not the director. He directed the first one, but Austin and I are really excited to see that one. Getting some good early buzz. What did you think about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom? If you've seen it, please let us know on Twitter. Make sure to like, review, subscribe to Glitchcast. Check us out on Twitter at glitchup with a little underscore. Check us out on Instagram with glitchup with a little underscore. Check us out on Facebook at glitchupweb. And check us out at glitchup.com. We've got some good content up there. We'll love to hear what you guys thought about Jurassic World, what you guys think about the podcast. Check out glitchup.com/support. You can donate via Patreon. You can click on an Amazon link that lets you shop via Amazon, and we get a little kickback. And you can buy some t-shirts if you want. Any little bit helps. Also go to glitchup.com/feedback and let us know what you think about the podcast. Roast Sarah if you want. Make fun of her voice. Make fun of my voice. Make fun of Austin's Twitter. Whatever you want to do. We want to get better. So just let us know how. Glitch out.